This is a special day, and I'm going to be praying in a little bit later concerning the message. I want you to get your expectations up, because God is saying that today is a day of victory.
Amen.
And you got to get your heart locked into faith with no doubting. And so I want you to begin to prepare your heart for what God is going to do.
Amen.
Now, before that, I have a real special announcement. Next Sunday, we've been advertising this and promoting this for some time in our e-newsletter. E-newsletter. Anybody know what the e-newsletter is? Pastor Rochelle goes to a lot of trouble to put that together, so that means everybody in here reads it, right?
Okay.
Amen, amen. I'm glad you're doing that. We've been promoting, somebody said once or twice, we've been promoting now for some time, starting this Sunday, next Sunday, that we have a new CG group that's going to be meeting back in the children's area, back in the puppet room, and it's going to be from 9:30 in the morning until 10:10, and I have talked to the teachers again, make sure that they kick you out by 10:10, get you out here and be a part of what's going to happen, because some of them are part of the ushers and greeters ministry. But the princes right back here are going to be teaching the first class. We're going to have numerous teachers in this class, and they're going to do a series on the gifts of the Spirit starting next Sunday at 9:30 a.m. until 10:10, and then you'll come in here for the service. Again, that'll be in the children's area, in the puppet room. There's plenty of room in there. And if we need to, I'm hoping you end up packing the place out, and then we'll just take the puppet stage down and make more room. So, but we've made room for the class, and we encourage you to be a part of that starting next Sunday. Now, we know about the world events that are going on, correct? Mm-hmm. I mean, we're all very aware of that. So, what's on the screen right now? I was asked once, Pastor, what are you going to do? Let me tell you what I'm going to do. I'm not going to fear. I am not going to stop believing. I'm not going to stop praying. I'm going to stand in faith.
Amen. Amen.
Okay? Is that clear? You want to know what I'm going to do? That's what I'm going to do. That's what Pastor Rochelle's going to do. You know, ever since I've been a little kid, there's been wars and rumors of wars. The Bible's clear about that. We are in the last days. But I'm going to occupy until my Father comes. I'm going to possess as much land as I possibly can, no matter what's going on. Every opportunity I get to share my Jesus story, I'm going to do that. I'm going to occupy. I'm not going to hunker down and hide out somewhere thinking the end's coming and wait for Jesus to come back. When world events start taking place, we should be more active and more visible.
Yes.
Didn't get a lot of amens on that. We need to be more visible.
Amen.
As the church.
Yes.
Because the world needs to be with people who are not living in fear.
Amen.
But our hope is in Jesus and heaven.
Yes.
We have a different home. And people need to see that from us.
Yes.
They don't need to see us walking in fear.
Right.
They need to see us walking in faith.
Right.
Yes, we see what's going on. Yes, we're going to pray for that. Yes, yes, yes. But I refuse to stand in fear and worry and dread and wring my hands. I'm going to spend my time on my face before God seeking Him.
Yes.
What do you need me to do during this season?
Yes, yes.
That's what we need to do. Now, over 30 years ago, Rochelle and I and just a few other people were at the airport at DFW to receive some refugees from Russia. Those refugees were the Bodu family. There was Mr. and Mrs. Bodu. There was Dima, the oldest son, and their two daughters. Now, I'm not going to go to all the story, but we received them over 30 years ago as refugees. We sponsored them. We took care of them when they came to our church. We got them a place to live. I spent many hours running them around to grocery stores. You should have seen the look on their face when they walked into Walmart. Is this much food is here all the time? See, we got to realize how blessed we are. Many years later, Dima and his wife went back to Europe to be missionaries and pastors. And this is a picture of Dima. And they are in the Ukraine pastoring a church. And this is Dima. His wife Helen posted this. And here's the reason I've got this up here. Because he's occupying while his country is being invaded. This is the promotion for the message that he preached this morning while we slept. And he didn't change the message. This was part three of a sermon series that he's doing about the kingdom. What is Dema doing? Dema is saying, my country is being invaded, but I will not fear. Mm-hmm. I will not fear.
Yes.
I'm going to stand and believe God. Mm-hmm. Everything his wife has put out has been nothing but faith. Mm-hmm. And we need to stand with them. Today, I'm going to preach part three. I'm not changing anything. Mm-hmm. He didn't either. Because he has a message from God he needs to complete. And from what I understand, everybody showed up to church. Everybody showed up to church. While they're being invaded. We are under no such thing here in America. Let that picture speak to your heart for the rest of the days of your life, mm-hmm. of what it means to be a man and woman of God, yes. to be a child of God, that we occupy until he comes.
Yes.
I get an amen in agreement with that?
Yeah, amen.
Okay, Pastor Rochelle's going to pray for Ukraine and for the Baudus.
Oh, Father God, we praise you. We exalt the name
God.
Of Jesus this day. We exalt the name of Jesus over the nation of Ukraine. We exalt the name of Jesus over the Baudu family, over their church, over all that they love. We exalt the name of Jesus and we say his name is greater. His name is greater than any enemy force that would come against them. For our God is the Almighty God, the sovereign God of heaven and earth, and he is in control. And we command the tyrants, the enemy forces, to be brought down and defeated in the name of Jesus. Oh God, perform a miracle just as you have over and over for the nation of Israel. Perform a miracle and fight their enemies. Fight Ukraine's enemies, oh God, and bring them down and cause them to be scattered and defeated in the name of Jesus. We stand with the nation of Ukraine. We stand with our friends in Ukraine. And we command the blessings of the Lord to be upon them and that he go before them to prepare the way. And he is their rear guard. And nothing, no weapon formed against them shall be able to prosper. We declare it in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, that you are truly with them and you will fight for them and they will have the victory. Oh God, what Satan meant for evil, you will turn it and work it for good. We declare in the name of Jesus for the nations of the earth. And we declare Jesus is Lord over the nations of the earth. Amen and amen.
We are living in the last days, but it's not a reason to hunker down and hide out and live in fear. It is the days that the church needs to arise and be the church. It is our time, and we need to stand up. I'm about to unpack something of great importance. It became very clear as I shared with you a few weeks back that when I came into the presence of God, heard him, the sound of his presence in the garden in my prayer room, and I told you about the flow of words that he began to speak to me. This was a very important day of the message I'm going to bring, and it is taking on more significance after what is taking place in Ukraine. I've shared before that one of the lost arts in the church has been memorizing scripture. Now I'm going to talk to you about something that the church has forgotten to use as a weapon of their warfare. And that's what I'm going to be teaching on this morning, is bringing the church back to one of the weapons of our spiritual warfare to obtain our victory. Do you have things that you need victory on in your life? Do you have family members that you are believing for a victory in their life? We may call it a mountain. You may call it a lot of different things. But I'm about to unpack a weapon that has been forgotten and seldom used as it used to be. It is time that we arise into all that God has given to us. You see the shofar? I brought this to the platform the last time I was here. No, I will not blow it today, because I have to unpack this message first. Although I am going to talk about the shofar, I must release this message first. There is a Sunday coming that I am going to blow the shofar in this building with you present. Now, I've already blown it in this building when you've not been present. There is a special Sunday in which that's going to take place. Now, frequency, this series, we're now in part three. Frequency is what radio stations use to carry words to you. We've talked about, in part one, about getting our receiver hooked up to the transmitter. There's nothing wrong with the transmitter. It's about the receiver. And I laid a foundation, or you may call it a outline, for you and I on how we can connect with God. So if you didn't hear part one, I'm going to encourage you to go back and listen to it on our website as I pour a very simple foundation on how to create your priest chambers and hear the voice of God. In part two, we talked about the frequency of hearing God's voice concerning your miracle. Today, I want us to connect with the frequency of your victory. Are you ready to connect to the frequency of your victory? So you need to have an ear to hear. I'm going to ask you to stand as we honor God's word this morning in our opening passage. I'm going to be reading from Joshua chapter 6. I'm going to read a portion of verse 20. As soon as the people heard the sound of the trumpet, the people shouted a great shout, and the wall fell down flat. Father, as we come to you this morning, let us understand today that the words we will hear are essential to our victory. That we'll put everything aside for the rest of the day or the week or this morning or anything that will distract me, because I need to hear what you have to say that is a key to my victory. So, Father God, we submit ourselves to the Holy Spirit right now to receive and hear. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, for giving us full understanding so that we can walk in the revelation and the power of the truth that will be released today. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I'm going to come back to that particular portion of that verse a little bit later. But let me, we're getting close to Easter, so let me read Matthew chapter 11, verse 9. It says, and those who went before and those who followed were shouting, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Now, I think that as a church, we have become very passive in how we receive the word shouted. We have become very passive in responding to what Scripture tells us to do. Here's what I feel like the church has been doing now for some time, is we read that passage of Scripture and we see it almost like a hippie moment in the 60s. People with flowers in their hair, waving palm branches and kind of dancing around and kind of singing and saying, oh, it's groovy, man, Jesus is coming into the city. No. Scripture says they shouted. The ones that were before, the ones that were behind, they were shouting. as he came into the city. They caused an uproar. It's time the church caused an uproar. They were shouting. Don't read that passively. Read it as it's meant to be read. They were shouting. Well, I'm glad it was them, not me. See, we can't take a passive stance anymore. The enemy is moving in ways that are hindering us from our victories. And we need to start doing what's going to cause the enemy to stumble and fall before us, and we receive our victories. And talk about get out of your comfort zone. I'm going to be working on that all morning, so just get ready. Well, that's just not who I am. Well, it needs to become who you are. You need some victories in your life, and some things have got to change. Here in this passage of Scripture, shouting is the Greek word karzo. Now, karzo means loud. Okay? It means loud here. It means cry out. It means to call out. If I'm wanting to get somebody's attention over on the other side of that wall and I don't have my microphone on, I'm not going to say, Tammy, would you come here? Tammy! And knowing Tammy, what? It's calling out. When was the last time in your prayer room that you shouted and called out to God? Come on. Or in your car where somebody's calling 911. I think they're having some fit over here. We have become too reserved and too passive. They were shouting at the front and at the back. It means to cry out loudly, is what it means. Psalms 145 says this. I'm gonna unpack something and just reveal something to you here in Psalms 145:4. One generation shall praise your works to another. Okay, one generation shall praise your works to another. This word praise is not a passive praise. This isn't, oh, thank you, Jesus. Glory. Wow. I just heard Eva shout, but wow. This is awesome. It's not that kind of praise. When it says one generation shall praise your works to another, it's the Hebrew word shabak. And shabak means to address with a loud voice. Now here's the other thing it means, to trumpet your voice. To trumpet your voice. What does that mean? Loud. When the day comes that I blow the shofar in here, some of you are going to be doing this. Because I'm going to blow it loud. Without a mic. Trumpet. It's a trumpet voice. When it says here in this verse of Scripture, what it's saying is one generation shall trumpet your works to another. They're going to shout your works to another. Let's understand Scripture. This is why we got to study the Word of God. Understand what is being said. He is not saying here just a little praise here. He's talking about one generation will shout to the other generation your good works. Going to shout. It also means, this word means a loud tone. Musicians and everybody get that, a loud tone. Here's the other thing it means, to shout to cause a stillness. Now, when you're in a room and somebody shouts, it may kind of shake you at first, but what happens right after that? Everybody gets still. And it gets quiet. I'm going to be moving deeper into the shout and how to steal the enemy that is trying to wreak havoc. The shout. Penn Truth, For our guests today, a pinned truth is revelations I've received are things that God has taught me, I've learned in my walk with God. Pinned truth, God loves enthusiasm. He loves it when we shout and sing our praises to Him. This is a shouting worship. It's not just a praise. It's shouting our praise. It's shouting our praise. You don't sing it, you shout it. You don't sing it, you shout it. Now, let me give you the backstory. Most of us know about Jericho and the children of Israel crossing the Jordan, going in. First place they've got to confront is Jericho. And there's been movies about it. Most of everybody in here knows about it. Jericho wasn't just any kind of city. In its day, it was a massive city. And ask someone to get me a cup of water if they would, please. Massive city. Excuse me. Now, let me tell you about the city. Now, to us, it won't mean a lot. But if you walked around the city, it was a mile and a quarter to walk around it. Now, let me give you a true picture of the city. The city's walls had a foundational wall and then a wall on top of it. Now, this is 24 feet to the peak here, if I'm correct. 24 feet. There is a wall, a retaining wall. Then there's another wall. And the total distance of that wall was between 40 and 46 feet. That's the first wall. Now, I want you to just get it, see what they're looking at. Up there, 46 feet. On the other side of that, the grade goes up, but there are houses and people living all around it. Thank you. In that section. But it goes up to another section, and now there is another retaining wall and another wall on top of that. If you're standing down here looking at the top, you would have the illusion that it's a 10-story building. And if you're at the top of that looking down at the Israelites, would you be concerned about them? They look small. And where we live, they can't get in here. And the truth was, they were right. But God instructs Joshua to have the people to walk quietly around the city once for 6 days. One time, day two, one time, day three, one time. But when they get to day seven, they're to do something totally different. Let's read that, because we're going to unpack two words that are in the scripture. Joshua chapter 6, verse 20. So the people shouted, and the trumpets were blown. As soon as the people heard the sound of the trumpet, the people shouted a great shout, and the wall fell down flat. So that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they captured the city. It is time that we capture our victory. Boy, I should have got. It is time that we capture our victories. They walked and walked, but on the last time, they came out of their comfort zone. And can you imagine being at the very top of this thing looking down and just and going, man, they're just weird people. I'm going to show you how weird we are about certain things in a moment. The word shouted here is ruah. Now, ruah in the Hebrew means two things. Two things. To raise a shout with your voice, or the blast of a trumpet. Now, here's a revelation you need to hear this morning. Your voice, your shout, is the blast of a trumpet. You don't need the trumpet. I don't know if I could ever blow one of those, Pastor. You already have your own trumpet. You need to start practicing your trumpet. Anybody catching what I'm saying? You need to start shouting. It means two things. That word means two things. A loud shout, a cry that's loud, and the blast of a trumpet. A Okay? Now, that word also comes down into the point of that blast with the trumpet here is meaning a ram's horn or a shofar. I got a shofar in front of you. My ram's horn I gave to Pastor Polo in the Yucatan jungle. It still sits in the pulpit. Every time I'm there, he wants to see if I can still blow it. It's one or the other. Now, the word trumpet here is about many instruments. It was many different types of instruments, but basically the shofar and the ram's horn. Now, all indications are is that they blew the tekiah. Now, the tekiah, which I'll be blowing in here, there's four basic sounds that they use. There are others, but there's the four major. One of them is the tekiah. The tekiah is one long blast, one strong tone that is loud. And it means and signifies rejoicing and victory. We must understand that they shouted before the walls came down. They were shouting their victory before they had it. Catch it. Come on, catch it. They were shouting their victory before they had it. They were using their trumpets, mouths, and trumpets. Oh, I hope somebody's getting this. Some things are about to turn around for you. It was one clear tone. Now, I had the privilege, in our world we would consider it a privilege. I was sitting in the stadium when the Texas Rangers won the game to go to the World Series for the first time. Now, I'm just a baseball fan there that night, and suddenly, just like that, I became a pastor. When that pitch was thrown and the game was won, the place had one blast, one tone, and people were acting fairly foolish. And I don't mean they shouted for a little bit. I got people standing around me, and I'm listening. All of a sudden, I'm a spectator. I didn't participate because the Holy Spirit arrested me, and he said, watch and listen. I'm start watching, and I'm listening. I can hear people behind me. This one lady behind me was taking, she'd yell, and then take a deep breath. Yell! Why? Because the Texas Rangers were finally going to the World Series. And I'm standing there, and I'm looking around, and I'm watching. And instead of enjoying the moment, I enjoyed it later. Instead of enjoying the moment, the Holy Spirit began to convict my heart that the church would have more victories if they would do what they're doing. Well, I don't want to do that where anybody hear me. You do it when you go to a ball game. Goodness me. Some of you have never shouted in your life until you had grandkids, and they're kicking that ball down that soccer field. And everybody's looking at you going, I don't even know who you are. The shout. Why don't we read scriptures and understand that everything is profitable in scripture? For my benefit. For your benefit. The shout. I'll never forget, I finally started celebrating with everybody in the person I went with, I was reaching out to again, had been out of church for a long time. I thought, I bet I can get them to go to that ball game. They went with me, and I used all of that. God was setting it up so that I could minister life back to him. And I began to talk about what happened, and he began to tear up, and God began to speak to him. Never miss an opportunity to reach somebody. And his life has turned and is going in a lot better place since then. But I started talking about where the church is not and what we have walked away from, and we have forgotten one of our most powerful weapons of warfare for our victory. Is the shout. Now let's remember, they shouted before the walls fell. And if they had not shouted, guess what? Walls wouldn't have fallen. Remember, the instructions from God wasn't just to blow the trumpets, but to... Okay? Wouldn't have happened. Here's something I want to say today. It doesn't matter what the circumstances are that you are facing. It is time to shout out your victory. It's time to shout out your victory. No matter what you're facing. If I still know Dima as well as I do, and I know Helen as well as I do, they've been doing some shouting. And here's the thing, we shouldn't, and it's just who they are. Dima can get really loud in a meeting. You can be in a meeting with Dima, and Dima's voice will go way up here. I've told him before, I said, are you angry? No, I'm excited. I don't know how many times he's told me that. Needs to become a reality of consistency in the body of Christ again. That when we read where it says praise, we need to study. Maybe God is telling me to shout my worship and my praise to Him. God won't embarrass you, I promise you. There's always a place to go and do this. But there come a moment where you got to just say, you know what, I don't give a rip who's around, where I'm at, I'm going to shout. And thank God for my victory. This kind of praise is a battle cry to your victory. And a pen truth that I have is that the shout speaks to our victory, it steals the enemy. You want to get his attention? Shout with faith. Probably he's going, oops. Press that a little bit too far. Let me share a personal story concerning this particular shofar. I've had two. This is a triple twist that I ordered from a Yemenite priest and got to converse with him back when emailing was really dicey in those days. And I told him I wanted it polished a certain way, and he sent it to me. And it stunk like nobody's business when I got it. It's midnight, straight up midnight, and I'd been up burdened with many things. This is in the 90s. And I cried out to God in my storage room in the garage that I'd cleared out for a place to pray. It was cold in the winter and it was hot in the summer. And this was a hot summer. I had a little fan going and trying to stay as cool as I could. It's getting late. You know, here it's 100 degrees at midnight. So, and I'm just crying out to God, and all of a sudden I hear the voice. I hear Him come into the presence of the room, and He says, grab your shofar and go out and stand in the middle of your oval driveway. I said, it's midnight. Common sense, you just, it's midnight. What do you want me to blow this thing? It's midnight. God has had me do a lot of things through the years for my victories. It's not the first time I had shouted. I knelt down in a field on 174 in the middle of the day with my hands stretched out about 80 yards from the highway with cars flashing by. It's amazing how you don't realize how many vehicles are on the road until you do something like that. And I fell down on my knees, put my hands up, and I started shouting and praising God and thanking Him for removing my mountain. He had me get up one night again at 2 a.m. in the morning, and I ended up almost in the same spot at night. It's amazing how many people don't go to bed. This time he had me stand up, face the road. He said, you need to shout to me with with no shame. And I started shouting, and I had my victory within 3 weeks. The other one took a few months. This particular time, we were facing some of the largest things we'd ever seen. Rochelle and I, and the burden was great. And I went out on that driveway, and he said, I want you to blow the shofar, and then I want you to shout. And that was when he gave me the revelation and took me back to the scripture and said, your voice is a trumpet. I blew the shofar, and I shouted. And I thought the whole neighborhood's about to wake up. Because I can blow this puppy loud. And one light went on to the neighbor on this side in their bedroom. Light came on. I went, oh. But I kept shouting. Only light that came on, after a little bit, it went off. What are you going to do to get your victory? I didn't just do it once and then walk away. I was out there for a while. Shouting, one tone, top of my lungs. I don't know. I know where Daniel's room was, and the girls' room on this side, they never said anything. But then again, they've told me several things since then, things they knew that were going on. We didn't think they heard. I don't know if I woke them up or not, but it didn't matter. There comes a moment where you need to listen to the frequency of God and then obey the words that come to you. And so I obeyed the words, blew the trumpet, and then the Lord spoke to me and gave me that revelation that my voice was a trumpet. I didn't need that to shout in my victory. But there would be seasons where he would have me blow it. Your voice is a trumpet. Let me share a pen truth with you that I wrote down back in the 90s. Smithy, when you hit a wall that looks to keep you from possessing what God has promised you, it is time to shout. Now, let me give you a sticky note. What are the sticky notes? You put them on your rearview mirror, put it on your mirror at home, put it somewhere where you'll see it. Here's a sticky note. Shout doubt and fear out. Come on. Shout it out. What do you think demon them are doing? Shouting and believing. I got up this morning going, I wish I could have been in that service. Knowing Dima and Helen, it was probably wild. There is great power in the shout. There is victory in our shout. I love what Billy Sunday said. Yank some of the groans out of your prayers and shove in some shouts. That's worth writing down. Get some of the groans out. Get some shouting in. Let me give you some pen truths, some things I've learned about the shout. Oh, and by the way, that wasn't the last time, and it will not be the last time that God has me go do things that are a little bit strange. I've already been out in that parking lot and done some things, and the guys were over here working and watching me, and I know they were thinking, what is he doing? I'm just obeying God, living by faith. Pentruce, a shout commands attention. A shout is prophetic and faith-building. Come on. It's prophetic and faith-building. I mean, sometimes when I have done my shouting, I feel like I want to put on some boxing gloves, put my mouthpiece in, and take somebody on. And then it dawns on me, I don't need the gloves or the mouthpiece. All I need is that Bible right there, and I'll take you on. A shout will change you if you get out of yourself and shout your victory in. Shell's told me, man, before I was saved, she did some lots of shouting in the house. And she got her victory. Come on. She wasn't just, thank you, Jesus, it'll happen someday. No, she's shouting and sweeping stuff out the door, you know, saying, I'm sweeping all the demonic stuff out of the house. You know, so she was serious. A shout calls things that are not as though they were. Come on. A shout demonstrates confidence and determination. Where's your confidence? A shout releases boldness and passion. A shout changes the atmosphere. God's word tells us to shout. Psalms 47:1, clap your hands. All peoples, shout to God with loud songs of joy. Pastor, there's something wrong with that group over there. They just always shouting during worship. Probably they've got some mountains and they're shouting them down. Psalms 98:4, shout to the Lord all the earth. Break out in praise and sing for joy. Psalms 95:1, come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Why don't you practice tomorrow morning? When you get up to do your devotional time, why don't you walk in and just start shouting about the salvation that you have in your life because of Jesus Christ on the cross? Well, I'll wake everybody up in the house. Okay, go someplace in a park and shout and thank Him. Luke 19:40, but Jesus answered, I tell you, if my followers didn't say these things, they remained silent, then the stones would cry out. It says, start shouting. We just hear cry out. He's saying, the stones would start shouting. If a bunch of stones started shouting, I think we'd all just stop and be still. Jim Renish said this, raise a praise to see the walls fall. I'm going to say it again. Raise, that's loudly, a praise to see walls fall. Rochelle. My final statement to you is this, and you need to listen closely to the words that are about to come from my final statement. Psalms 101 declares, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Church, it's time to shout. It's time for the walls of Jericho to fall in your life.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
In your family, in your home. It's time to move forward to victory.
Yes.
Now is the time for you to stand. Got one that wants something. It's time for you to stand. Now is the time for our victory.
Yes.
It's all yours.
We're going to shout to the Lord with the voice of triumph as His Word says. His Word says for us to shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Yes. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Father.
In the world. Hallelujah! Woo! Shout unto God, receive your victory. Receive your victory now as you take that step of faith. It may look stupid. You may feel like you're an idiot, but hey, I don't care. I want my victory. So when we shout unto God with faith, then we will receive our victory because we are being obedient to God. We are walking in obedience to God, and He will bless those that obey Him. He will move. Faith moves the hand of God. And as we walk in obedience, it will be done, and there's nothing that Satan can do to stop it. You got to believe that.
Wow. Now you ready to put on some boxing gloves and go do something? I can just see Matt over going. And you do it with this right here. I'll say it again. Until I have no more breath in my life, you need to make this your number one read. Ross Todd said recently, I thought it was so great, he was asked, how many books, what books are you reading? And he goes, the Bible. And these people read a lot of books, and they were leaders, and they said, no, seriously. What books have you read? He said, Bible. Pastor's a large church in Dallas. He said, I'm sorry, I just read the Bible. I think we need to understand, we need to be reading the Bible. Amen. You may be seated.